6-1-3 Wrestling. With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote.
Hey everyone, this is Kyle here. You're listening to 613 Wrestling, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And this is a podcast by fans, for fans, about wrestling. So we're going to try something a little bit different tonight. Unfortunately, you know, Mark and I's schedules couldn't match up, but we thought we would maybe do a two-night extravaganza. So tonight, I will provide my thoughts and opinions on kind of the state of WWE. And then I thought we would go into playing a little Triple H as the VP of talent and make some cuts. It's time to fire some people. So I thought we would have a little bit of fun and kind of give you the 10 people that I think should get the boot and why. And then catch you up a little bit on AEW and what's going on with the C4 show that's coming up in, roughly speaking, 3 weeks' time. So we thought we'd do that. And then what's going to happen is tomorrow night, Mark will come with his rebuttal, his thoughts and views on the way the WWE is going. Maybe comment on how he feels like my 10 cuts are, and maybe provide some of his own. You know, give you a little bit of a different perspective, and anything else he wants to share. So before we get going, right off the top, I just wanted to let you guys know that our YouTube channel has a new video. It's the unboxing of the April, quote-unquote, WWE Slam Crate, which is powered by Loot Crate. I finally got it about 3 months late. And so I busted it open for the first time on the video, so it gives you guys a chance to see what goes on in one of these Slam Crates. Still waiting to see if I'm going to get my July edition. Sorry, I apologize, my June edition. Who knows? But, you know, hopefully you guys can check out the video. Let us know what you think. I don't care if you hate it. If you think it's the dumbest thing you've ever seen, let me know. Let us know, and then we can either continue or stop doing it and not embarrass ourselves. So, that being said, after the break, we're going to get into breaking down the last couple of weeks of Raw, and then we'll take down the last couple of weeks of SmackDown. So, stay tuned. Hey everybody, welcome back. I know it was an extremely long 10-second break for you. We appreciate you guys hanging tight. Once again, this is Kyle here. And I wanted to give you some thoughts and opinions on how Raw is going. I know that our focus is a lot on WWE, but let's be honest, that's just the product that we watch. There's just so much wrestling out there. It is really hard to keep tabs on everything and watch everything religiously. So I think Mark and I just feel like we grew up at WWE and we'll stay WWE. It doesn't mean we're going to ignore all the other promotions out there. It's just what's available to us and how much we enjoy it. So let's break down the last couple weeks of Raw. So 2 weeks ago, right after the very strong pay-per-view of Extreme Rules, we started to kind of piece together what's going to happen for SummerSlam. I like that we have a nice big lead-up for SummerSlam. We're heading into Toronto, and there's enough time to build all these stories out instead of rushing it like we normally do when you slide in these extra pay-per-views, whether it's the Super Showdown, the Greatest Royal Rumble, the Crown Jewel, the whatever you want to call it. This is just an opportunity for them to really set up what's supposed to be the second biggest pay-per-view, you know, the biggest one of the summer. So it's important that they do give themselves enough time. So first, kind of on the list, we talk about who's going to face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. They went through a nice 10-man battle royal. I liked that there was a lot of variety in terms of who they had, you know, offering Sami Zayn and Big E and Cesaro. You know, I thought it was a pretty decent match for what you're trying to get out of it. I just feel like this was a bit of a miss with Seth Rollins. I know he is kind of the future of Raw, and not to put anything against him, I just feel like, and I know Mark will probably agree with me, that there was more interesting choices. You know, this was an opportunity to really get Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, the match that I think a lot of older fans, people who remember Bobby Lashley's first time round and how, you know, him and Brock Lesnar had a kind of a similar history going, where they both left WWE to do some MMA and they came back, and so it'd be really interesting to see how these guys interact with each other, and it'd be enough of a time for a build-up that it really could have worked. I thought, you know, Randy Orton would have been a great choice in that the feud that he had with Brock Lesnar leading up to, I'm pretty sure it was some side pay-per-view. It could very well have been any other pay-per-view. I really can't remember, to be honest with you. But it was kind of an out-of-the-blue match, but then they managed to figure out how to build it up where they kind of went on each other's shows and surprise attacked, and it was actually really good. And so this was an opportunity to kind of revisit that. I think it would have been a decent opportunity as well. But alas, we're stuck with Seth. And I say stuck only because I think that there was really other opportunities for people. And sometimes it's okay to start something new and let the usual staples go and try and do something else. There's a huge roster. Why don't we take opportunity of who's out there? And then we kind of went into who is Becky Lynch going to face at SummerSlam. In the end, Natalya won. It's a nice difference. The problem you're running into, and you see it this in that week's episode of Raw, and you also see it move into this week's episode of Raw, is that when you're comparing the mic skills, there is no comparison, and it makes things really challenging when you have such a discrepancy. Becky is fantastic on the mic, especially now. I will not say that she's always been fantastic, but she's gotten a lot better as she gets more comfortable in who she is and how much of a real personality is coming through her character. Natalya is just terrible on the mic. She'll always be terrible on the mic. It's just not her thing, and that's okay because she's a fantastic in-ring worker. And I just, as much as I'd like to see her in this match, this is one of those things where maybe, you know, a third, not that I really like always having a triple threat, but maybe perhaps this would have helped benefit her in leaving some of the talking to the other two. But, you know, I think it's an okay match. It's something different we haven't seen. I still think, you know, if we ever get to see a return of Sasha, I think her and Becky, especially with what Becky has now, would be really great together. You know, one of the other highlights, too, is that Bray Wyatt's character, which I will tell you I think is one of the best things they have going. I love the contrast between the Firefly Funhouse and the Fiend, especially in this week's episode where you had him attacking Mick Foley and him having the Firefly House for Funhouse for Finn Balor. I thought that was really fantastic. So him attacking Bray Wyatt to attack Finn Balor 2 weeks ago, I thought was a great introduction for Bray to return. I just hope that it really sticks with him being menacing and him being the monster that his character shows, instead of just being the guy that continuously loses. Not to say that he has to win every match, because Samoa Joe has proven to us that you can still be, and to kind of to quote Not Sam Wrestling podcast, in that he had mentioned, you know, late last year in his podcast, that you don't have to win everything, and Samoa Joe doesn't, because he doesn't care. He just wants to destroy people so that can make him that monster. But if you're going to be fearful, there's got to be some payoff. And so hopefully all this is worth it, and they don't just kind of ruin it like they did with the joining of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. And then we have our classic tag match going, which I think is some of the best wrestling out there. I think when you have the Usos and the Revival, they're the two strongest tag teams, I think even more so than New Day in the WWE. So to have them highlighted is never a bad thing. They put on great matches. I like that they're not the same match every week. There's a little bit differences. So they can keep that going, and I will certainly not be disappointed. And, you know, kind of round out that they have the 24/7 championship, which Drake Maverick's stuff is fantastic. I like that his wife is starting to finally get into it. And, you know, him in the hotel and, you know, wearing just the belt, quote unquote, just the belt, was great. And I think it's really works really well. You know, it would be amazing to see Hornswoggle somehow in this. Would be good for a laugh because, you know, with R-Truth referring to Drake Maverick as Hornswoggle, would be kind of funny to have him there. Yeah. And so that's kind of where we're at. You had a couple other matches, kind of the basics. But all in all, those are the highlights. And then going into this week's, that's where I kind of wanted to spend most of the time. I just never understood the reunion. I don't get it. I just don't get it. What was the point of it? Is it that we didn't have enough stories, so we want to, you know, go ahead and try and put something on because we don't have a good story? Or, you know, it didn't really push anything along. And to be perfectly honest with you, I hate them. I actually hate these reunion things. It's so tiring for me when you just trying to infuse all of these old wrestlers into shameless plugs or moments where you can just, oh, I saw them and that was it. It was interesting with The Miz TV with on SmackDown, which we'll get to, but it kind of relates to this now in that I feel like it was more for the wrestlers and less for the fans, which is fine, I guess, but you could probably just do that on your own and like have a little reunion party and, you know, maybe put up some highlights on the WWE Network or something, or WWE.com. I don't think we really need to see the most alumni in a Raw ever, or whatever they want to call it. Everything fell flat for me. You had DX join Seth Rollins to face the club or the OC. Like, we're supposed to forget everything that happened, why Seth is still called the Kingslayer. It just doesn't make sense to me. And then you make it worse by bringing out even more guys, and you have this mixture of the Click and DX, and some are wearing NWO shirts, and I really was looking forward to Seth and AJ. I thought that was a great opportunity. It's one of those matches where it makes you worth watching Raw or SmackDown and not having to wait for a pay-per-view. It's just the rest of the shenanigans were so over with me. I just didn't really care for it. I didn't care for the Usos bringing out their dad, and D-Von is siding with the Revival, which didn't make any sense to me. Again, it's just like another plug. And then what I liked, though, was I did like the Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe stuff that they brought in as a result of it. I think Samoa Joe is always fantastic on the mic. He blurs the line between fiction and reality, which I always appreciate in wrestlers. I think that there was an opportunity there to maybe move a storyline between Roman and Samoa in pushing this kind of Samoan background and what it really means. And they could have really done something really cool with it, maybe at SummerSlam, or push it out. But it just kind of, they did their thing, and then that was it. You know, I really appreciated the chat. You know, we had The Fiend coming out and attacking Mick Foley, which is cool. That part was cool because he used Mick Foley's claw, and it just really showed that Bray Wyatt isn't really going to care who it is. He's going to attack and stake his claim, which I thought was really good. There was just a bunch of other stuff. I will tell you, though, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm a super big fan of the segments with the Street Profits. I haven't really enjoyed them in NXT. They're okay. They're just not really for me. But I think both of them have really shined in this background role in their segments. It's been fantastic. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The couple of really big issues I had with the reunion, though, goes back to this bananas-ness of the 24/7. I only like the segments between R-Truth and Drake Maverick, but this was far worse. I know that people wanted to see the Stooges win because they've done this before with the hardcore, but you had Kelly Kelly winning it, and you had Candice Michelle, and then Alondra Blaze, and then she does this really weird thing where she's going to dump it in the trash again, and then the Million Dollar Man buys it from her. Like, it was just so terrible. It was so unnecessary. It was so unneeded. They could have done something far better with this, and they just got these people on TV for the sake of getting on TV, and the 24/7 belt is the easiest thing to do it with. The only saving grace was at the end, when Maverick is complaining about how he doesn't have his title anymore, and he thinks he's talking to his wife, and it turns out it's Carmella, and then he's like, oh yeah, my wife! You know, it's the continued, you know, focus he has on the 24/7, which I think works out really well. Everything else in between was just so terrible for me. And the other thing that never made any sense was the end, this toast. It felt like it was supposed to be a toast to Ric Flair, and Hulk Hogan took it over, and never really got there, and then Steve Austin came out and did his little thing. It capped off what I think was a crap night, and I know Mark is totally gonna disagree with me, but for me in the end, it was crap. I don't need old-time alumni. I don't need anything else unless it actually serves a purpose. But just to have them for the sake of having them, I don't care. You know what, though? Shout out to the Hurricane. Seeing him on the IGN's video cast during Comic-Con going for the 24/7, that I'm okay with. Totally okay with that. If you had a couple of other superstar old alumni on there doing that, go for it. That I'm okay with. But everything else was just, Don't waste my time. Raw's already 3 hours. It's sometimes painful enough to watch for 3 hours of Raw. Don't go and add it by adding all of these useless segments instead of getting yourself really prepped for what SummerSlam is supposed to hold. So that being said, that kind of wraps up my news and notes and thoughts. Oh, I apologize. There is one other thing. During this DX and Click segment with the club, they've really started pushing the OC. Now, I like the shirts. The shirts look cool. They're awesome. You can put OC. I don't even really mind that necessarily. I don't understand why you're referring yourself as the OC. Are they not allowed to say the club? Is it starting to push its thing? You know, they had the OGBC with Balor Club. I kind of like that. Calling yourself the OC, it doesn't really do anything for me. I feel like it's not winning me over. Call yourself the club. I like it. I like the three of them together. If Finn could jump ship and join them together, it would be even incredible. That would have been amazing. I don't want you to see all the former Bullet Club members come out, like Adam Cole and anybody else that, you know, comes around. I don't want that. I'm okay with the four of them. Even though, in all reality, AJ is not the original members of the Bullet Club, the relationship that he has works for me. So I'm okay with that. I don't need a 10-person stable of all former Bullet Club members. But I just think that this would be a great fit also for Finn. Give him, when he comes back from his break, give him something new. And why can't we see kind of a more edgy Finn, more of a badassy Finn? We kind of saw it a little bit when the Balor Club came together, but then it was killed so quickly that it just wasn't really there. So hopefully we'll see him with the rest of them, and they're called the club, not the OC, because it drives me nuts. We'll go from there. So that wraps up my kind of thoughts on Raw, and after a quick break, I will talk to you about how I feel about SmackDown is going. So stay tuned. Hey everyone, welcome back. Once again, this is Kyle here. You're listening to, obviously, you know, you're listening to the 613 Wrestling Podcast. So we're back and we broke down Raw, and now we're going to break down SmackDown for the last couple of weeks and just share our thoughts and opinions. So a couple weeks ago, we continued the Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, somebody called him the Canadian Rattlesnake. I'm digging it. I am all huge big fan of Kevin Owens. I like this Kevin Owens. I like what he's saying because I know that the fans can relate to it. I just hope that they actually take the words and follow through with it. So hopefully, as we lead into SummerSlam with this match, we get a pure one-on-one Shane versus Kevin, Kevin squash match, shows Shane that he doesn't belong, and then Shane rides off into the sunset. So, you know, that being said, here we are. They, you know, started off this 2 weeks ago on SmackDown with this town hall, which felt like it was going to go to lead somewhere and then literally led to nothing. It didn't even really designate your heels and faces as it could have easily done. It was just kind of like, hey, we're going to say a couple things, and then this segment's been going on too long, so now it's time to move on. It was craptastic. And didn't really need to get done. The only thing that would have made it better is if Kevin Owens came out and stunned him right at the end of the tunnel. I know there was a couple of stunners from him. And that would have, you know, gotten another stunner. There was a bit of a slip up with one of his stunners, but that's okay. It happens. You know, those things aren't the easiest thing to always manage to get done. So when we kind of talk about setting up Ember Moon versus Bayley, will be the SmackDown Women's Championship match, which I'm very okay with. I think, again, Ember Moon has got something to her. There's something there. I'm not too sure what it's going to take for her to move up in the upper echelon of women in that division, but I think that she's got a different look to her, and it's nice to see something new. So hopefully we'll get a little more out of this leading up to SummerSlam. I like that Bayley, you know, that Ember Moon kind of, not that she turned on Bayley, but kind of set like, hey, we're not friends here. I'm here to win, and I'm going to take on whoever gets in my way. And I think that's the perfect attitude, the kind of character they need. There needs to be less of this, let's all be friends, or I'm friends with this person and I hate this person, and so therefore you have to hate this person. Let's just get to the point where we're doing what we can. We also had this kind of weird, you know, Liv Morgan trying to reach out, you know, trying to defend herself stuff against Charlotte. It was, you know, pretty much a squash match. You know, we're supposed to see something from her next time she shows up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, who are we going to see, who are we going to deal with. We had a bit of a six-man tag, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, and Elias versus The New Day. It kind of leads into Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston. I don't mind necessarily these types of matches. I'm not always a big fan of it. I do want to see the New Day kind of branch out and do something else. I'd like to see Big E really have a solid singles run. I think that there's a lot for him to offer, and it doesn't mean you have to break up the New Day. Maybe, you know, you have Kofi who's going after the big title. Maybe you have Big E who's trying to get at the Intercontinental, and then slide Xavier into the 205 Live and go after the Cruiserweight. Like, why not? There's nothing that stops them now. So there's that, you know, that to be said. We had a rematch of Aleister Black versus Cesaro. While I'm not a huge fan of running the same matches after you run a pay-per-view, these two had very good match again, so I'm okay with it. Plus, we get to see Aleister Black in one of his... still has one of my favorite finishing moves, the Black Mass. It's just, he times it so perfectly, he hits it perfectly. It is one of the most realistic looking moves out there that, you know, you could really think that if he slips up, he could really cause some damage. Again, we're wasting the women's tag team titles. I love the Iconics. I haven't seen them on NXT. We haven't seen them on Raw in a while. Like, what is the point of this belt? I hate having things done just for the sake of saying you're doing it. If you were going to really cement the women's division with having a tag title, do something with it. I know that Mark and I talked about why, you know, was the roster big enough to even have this belt? And I don't think, clearly it's not. If you're, unless you're going to pull a Cruiserweight, you know, 205 Live, and you run your own women's show, this wasn't needed. They could have these tag matches and just push them into the other stories. We did get to see Andrade wrestle, which I always think is great because I love him, seeing him. He is definitely one of my favorite and I think really underrated. And I would like to see more of him in these types of situations. And then we got some Daniel Bryan, you know, weird. He's not sure what he's going to do, how this is all going to work out. This isn't working, which I think is true. I think they recognize that Daniel Bryan in this tag didn't really work. They didn't really do anything with it. So if you're going to have him do something, let's see him go absolutely nuts. I mean, the look is there. He's definitely let the hair grow out even further, the beard out even further. Let's just have him go crazy and see where we get from here. So then the following week, which is actually this week, things were a little more interesting. Definitely some highlights for me in this. This was definitely a better SmackDown than the previous week. Kofi Kingston calling out after his match with Samoa Joe, calling out Randy Orton. I'm okay with this. We'll see how it goes with Randy Orton in what kind of pull out. Do I want him to win the belt? No, I don't necessarily want him to win the belt, but I'm okay with him messing around with Kofi for a little bit until they kind of find out who should be next. The Fiend coming and finally challenging Bray Wyatt, you know, as I mentioned before, I think is a great idea. I think Bray should win this, and that way Finn can go off on his break, and it really looks worthwhile for The Fiend or Bray Wyatt, whatever they're going to call him. I just really hope they keep with the Bray Wyatt on the Firefly Funhouse, also what Bray does on his Twitter, where he's constantly apologizing to people from the past for what he was doing. It could be really good. If they do it right, it could be really, really good. You know, again, I like that Ember Moon went after Charlotte and went after Bayley and kind of cemented her spot, which I think was great. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, again, it's not sure where they're going with this one. I, you know, we have these strong women tags, but you're not using them. So where do we fit this? It was nice to see Shinsuke, you know, kind of show a little more edge, a little more care. Like, he wants to be there. I really think that I just don't know if he really fits anymore. I think he fit really well in the NXT because I think his image and his persona is NXT. I don't think it's really moved up to the main roster. One of the other things I kind of wanted to brush up on is this match between Roman and Kevin. I thought it was interesting when they just had that as a good match, and I would have been okay with that. To bring in the rest, again, I don't know where they're going with it. There's been no stipulation set for SummerSlam that prevents Drew and Elias from coming out and helping Shane. I don't want to see another Roman-Drew match. So I'm not sure what they're going to do with this, but we do need to move on and get something else going for a lot of these guys. And I really think that there's opportunities here. In terms of kind of the only other thing that was of note, which I thought was one of the best segments, was Miz TV with Shawn Michaels, and Dolph comes out, and Dolph literally spoke the words out of my mouth. I couldn't not get over how much he said exactly how I felt for the last couple of weeks and how I felt about Shawn Michaels coming back. Everything he said was exactly how I felt. And so I really dug this segment. And, you know, I don't think I necessarily want another Dolph Miz match. I do know that I want more of this Dolph. And I like Dolph in the ring. I think he's one of the best talents they have. He needs to start doing something. Again, it's, you know, and we'll talk about this when I go through my firing of wrestlers, that their roster is just so big and they can't all be on TV. But when they are TV, we got to make the most of them being out there so that people want to see them more and really want to see more of them. But this was definitely my favorite segment of the entire show on SmackDown. It's nice to know that some wrestlers speak how I feel. And they're not afraid to push that out there. And, you know, I like that Shawn Michaels really felt like he can acknowledge some of the stuff that wasn't great, but that I also really loved his dig at Dolph, where people called him a second-rate Shawn Michaels, and I thought that was fantastic. And so, you know, hopefully it gets somewhere. I don't know if I necessarily want to see Shawn in a match with Dolph. I'm not sure how Dolph does in terms of carrying the load for other wrestlers, but I also don't necessarily want to see Shawn in the Miz's corner as he faces Dolph. I don't know if that really makes any sense either. So we'll see where that one goes. It's definitely one of the interesting storylines that could develop into something interesting, or it could go nowhere. But we'll have to see. So one of the things that, you know, kind of wrap it up that I wanted to talk about was just as we move into the brand split on TV, as in Fox getting SmackDown and ensuring that we do see some of these superstars, and they've offered this wild card, but it's gotten so blown out of proportion. When you have Drew featured prominently on SmackDown when he's supposed to be on Raw, and you have Shane, who is the commissioner of SmackDown, he's showing up on Raw. Like, it's so hard to confusing now that let's just move Drew over to SmackDown. Let's have him challenge for the SmackDown World title. Put him on him, and let's see him run with it. I think he's got what he can do. But it also kind of questions, and this will be my question for Mark, is how do you tackle Survivor Series? I know it's a little farther out. It's not till November. But this is going to be impacting. And is it really worth having brand versus brand if you're going to have the brands already face each other off the pay-per-view? So, Mark, tell me, should they continue with brand versus brand competition on Survivor Series, or do they need to go a little back and bring up some of that old heel versus face purely? Or do we just can it all together and maybe we put Survivor Series on the shelf and bring back something else? I don't know, something new, something crazy. Do we bring back King of the Ring? Do we bring back Great Balls of Fire? Do we come up with something brand new? Something. Or, you know, Mark, what do you think we should do? Well, by we, what am I saying? I don't work for WWE. What should WWE do? How do we make Survivor Series matter or make it go away? So that kind of wraps up things for me in terms of the SmackDown and Raw, recaps or thought process. I'll be interested to see what Mark has to say tomorrow, or it might be today, depending on when you're listening to both of these. And we will go from there. So up next, we're going to play the Vice President of Talent Relations and start firing some people. And then we'll get Mark's feedback and who he thinks that needs to go. And it's not necessarily in preparation for NXT roster call-ups. It's going to happen. But at some point in time, somebody needs to go. They can't have so many people out there. So stay tuned, and I'll be back in about 10 seconds. Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Kyle once again. Obviously you know that, as I'm the only person talking on this podcast. So, we talked about Raw, we talked about SmackDown, gave my opinions on both, and now's the time. Mark and I are going to play a little game. We're going to play what should Hunter do, not what would Hunter do. What should Hunter do under the kind of the following stipulations. Vince McMahon calls him in his office and says, we got to make some cuts. This roster is too big. It's too hard to manage. But I'm taking a step back. I'm not going to give you my opinions. You just go for it. We need to cut 10. That's either 10 superstars or a combination of 10 superstars and 10 tag teams, which is two superstars counting as one. It can be 5 on Raw, 5 on SmackDown, all on Raw, all on SmackDown. Doesn't matter. It's just SmackDown and Raw. We're not talking 205 Live. We're not talking UK NXT or regular NXT. Just the main roster. The other NXTs, they know what they're doing. They know how to capitalize on not having every person out there every week. It works because I know that their roster is massive. You see all these new people coming in. I will say that I'm really enjoying the breakout tournament. I think that's the right way to introduce new people and not having to focus necessarily on a storyline for them. 205 Live, they need all the people they can get. They produce fantastic matches. They just need some work on the stories, but they have their own thing going. So I was giving this some thought over the last little while as I watch and have my gripes about who I constantly see on TV. And so, I'm just going to go off the cuff with what I think. I could probably come up with more than 10, but I won't, get into more than 10. So I'm going to go based on who is on the WWE Network's website, WWE.com, under Superstars, who works for who, and we'll go from there. So let's start off with one of the women's in the women's division. And I'm going to make two cuts. And they both are on Raw. I could fire a lot of people, but they're both on Raw. And it's going to be some veterans. And it's Alicia Fox and Natalya. Now, Mark and I have talked about this before with Natalya. She serves a purpose in the ring. She's great in the ring. I just don't care about anything she's doing, what she has to say. There is other female talents out there that could do the opportunity. And something to note, I know that when you cut, the people that you're going to cut are likely the bottom of the barrel people. And then you wonder, well, who's going to lose these matches? If you've ever been to a live show, not a live WWE show, but a live independent wrestling show, it's okay to lose. It's all about putting on the best match. And just because you lose a match doesn't mean that you're worse than the other person. That person just bested you that day. And there's ways to work stories around that. That it's okay to lose a match. Winning and losing does matter. But most importantly, it's how you win and how you lose. If you're a heel and you win from a chicken shit way, or you're a dominating way, that works. If you're a heel and you lose, but you lose because that one time the good guy got the best of you, that's okay. If you're getting squashed left, right, and center, that's where things matter. But WWE has the opportunity to put on great matches every single week with the best talent in the world, so you don't necessarily have to have them filled with junk. So, like I said, Alicia Fox, Natalya, you're getting the cut. I'm sorry, you're fired. Thanks for coming out. Natalya, come join us in the Performance Center. You can help Sarah out in building out the women's division and making sure that they don't just have the character, that they are strong in the ring. I think that there is opportunities there for her. She could work with the horsewomen, in getting them stronger, and getting them ready for the call-up. Bianca Belair, Candice LeRae. There is a lot of really good women, but they're still a little bit green. Some of them are really pretty green, and I think that they would really benefit from somebody of Natalya's expertise. In terms of Alicia Fox, she just takes up camera time. She doesn't do anything. Her character is obnoxious. It doesn't work. Doesn't fit in. And I think that there's an opportunity for any second you give Alicia Fox to give it to somebody else. Dana Brooke, could have been on the list of women to be cut. But I think she's still young enough and has the opportunity there. And she has something going for her that you could definitely make the most of it. The kind of time you're giving to somebody like Alicia Fox could be used with Dana Brooke in something. I mean, I loved her and Emma in NXT when they were, the badasses, and I really enjoyed it. And I think Dana Brooke could be that again if she had the right partner with her. Maybe she teams up with Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose and they become the badasses. Like, that would work too. You'd have to rework it a little bit, but it could work. Who else am I going to fire? I want to say Eric Young, but I feel like there would have been an opportunity to bring back Sanity at some point in time. Let's fire Heath Slater. In fact, let's fire Heath Slater, and we're going to lump in Mojo Rawley in that same category. So that's two more. We just fired two more guys. Those two need to go. There's no point in them anymore. If all your job is to run around chasing after the 24/7 title, or all your job is to come out there with face paint that makes it look like you're some sort of cyborg, there's no need for you. You're not putting on great matches. You're not doing anything on the mic. You're not helping with storylines. You're not building anything. You're fired. And another person we can throw that in there for my fifth firing is No Way Jose. I never liked him, his character in NXT. It was like a knockoff of Adam Rose. It didn't work in NXT. I feel like they brought him up into the main roster just to squash him. And it's not working. It just isn't for me. There's so much more that we could do with some of these people that having them out there just isn't worth it. Now is the time to fire a couple of tag teams. So number 6 and number 7 on the firing list for me is The Ascension and Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, they need to go. If all you're doing is being the old guy who loses, move on. There is way better tag teams out there that should be competing for belts, making interesting stories. We haven't seen the Offers in Pain in a while because one of them is injured. That's okay. We can work with them and they come back. There's plenty of tag teams out there. If at some point in time you're going to bring back, you know, you're going to call up the Undisputed Era, where are they going to go? I mean, they can't keep filling this roster full of people. There is plenty of tag teams out there. There's plenty of opportunities for the younger, better talent, because they are better. Let's be honest. They're better now. They're faster. They're stronger. They're more agile. They do new things. And it's okay to move to using them better. We have, you know, you got to appreciate all the stuff that Zack Ryder has done and all the stuff that Curt Hawkins has done. But now what are you doing? It's just, we don't need him. So, you know, that's a huge chunk. That's, you know, 7 singles and tags. And there's still a couple more. And unfortunately, you know, I could probably fire another 10. But I won't. Because we got to keep something, right? So, the next one is another tag. This is on the SmackDown side. It's the B-Team. Again, they kind of fall in that Curt Hawkins, Zack Ryder situation. You know, they get the crowd behind them for 5 or 6 minutes. And then people realize, oh, wait, there's nothing behind them. There's nothing to do with them. Like, what is the point of them? Again, we have other tags in SmackDown that can be better utilized. So let's do that. Let's get them out there. Let's see what they can do. You know, and I thought, you know, what do we do next? You know, who else can we fire? Who else should we fire? You know, you're looking at things like Liv Morgan, but I like them as the Riot Squad. I think they all worked really well together. They all, personalities all mixed, even though at first I thought, wow, this is a weird combination. They made it work. And so I think you don't want to fire people that have the potential to do something great. And so you kind of keep them around a little longer, you know, to see what they can do. So, you know, when I look at it, the other couple, you know, you got your Genders and you got your Shelton Benjamins, Sin Caras. They're not on TV at all, so they're not really bothering me enough to say, hey, you should get the boot. So they're not really taking up time. So I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, you know, it's your time to leave. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for your efforts. You know, there's the door. I got to go with the other two on my list. Apollo Crews, I think he had all the potential. I just never feel like the audience got him. Even when he was in NXT, he didn't really click. And he can't be the bad guy. He just doesn't have that in him. It doesn't seem like. And he's bouncing back and forth between NXT and the main roster. You know, he loses again. You know, Drew McIntyre destroys him. You know, where do we go from here? Like, it just doesn't seem worth it. And I feel like, again, he's a guy that sometimes you just have to cut your losses. Maybe he goes off and he joins Ring of Honor or Impact, or he goes overseas and he finds something new and he finds something he can sell, and then he comes back, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just feel like when the roster is as big as it is, there's an opportunity there to let these people go, do something else, and maybe come back with something fresh. And my 10th firing is Lars Sullivan. I never liked him. I never understood his character. He should have stayed in NXT a hell of a lot longer. He's gone through all of these personal issues, which I feel like by finding him and still keeping him on the roster, it's not excusing it. And it's not to say that Lars should be punished for something or continue to be punished for something that happened a long time ago. I'm just not convinced he doesn't still feel that way. And he just has stayed off social media to protect himself. But that aside, they had all these vignettes about him coming in and he's going to destroy everybody. And then he comes in and he kind of does. And he beats up on the Lucha Piñata squad. And then what? Then he's gone again. I don't know if he's injured. I don't really care. It's a character that just doesn't do anything for me. And I feel like there's a better solution. And you have other monsters out there that are better in the ring, better on the mic. They fit better. For me, Lars can go. And just don't come back. Don't go and build up yourself and do something new and then come back. No, just don't come back. There are better big guys. There are better potential monsters. Damian Priest being one of them. That could really do a lot of good. And I don't think that you really need to have him around anymore. So, that being said, let's break down who's packing. We had Alicia Fox. Gone. You fired. Thanks for coming out. Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder, you gone. Thanks for coming out. Go run your Creative Pro Wrestling School, Kurt. Go spend your thousands of dollars on toys, Zack. It's been real. Hey, Slater. Go hang out with your kids in your trailer park pool. You had your hot moment getting a new job. You had your hot moment with Rhino. Cut your losses. It's time to move on. We had the Ascension. You're gone. You worked at NXT. You worked with the Fashion Police, but you haven't really shown up again. You haven't really brought anything else. You continue to be the squash people, even though you're supposed to be big and scary. It's time for you to go. Mojo Rawley, we're shutting you down. Go take your hype or what you're not hype or whatever it is you are now. Find something new. Natalya, thank you very much for your service. Here's your Hall of Fame induction. Please join us at the Performance Center. Stay out of the ring. No way, Jose. You're right. No way, Jose, should you be in that ring. Should you be anywhere near a WWE camera. It's been real. Get to stepping. Rounding out our SmackDown, Apollo Crews, go discover something else about yourself, find a new edge, come back. B team, more like the C. See a team, see a later team. Man, I am corny when I'm here by myself. It's like I'm talking to myself, and hopefully somebody else is listening. And Lars Sullivan, please. Please leave and don't ever come back. I don't want to see you again. You know, when I was doing this list and thinking about it, I thought maybe Shinsuke. Maybe Shinsuke, it's time for Shinsuke to go. But this last week's episode, he's really shown a little bit of fire in him. I want to see what happens. Rusev's been off for a while. He's somebody that I wouldn't mind seeing back if it's right. Lana, I didn't really include because she kind of fits with Rusev. And so they kind of have a package deal. And if I have to see Lana in order to get Rusev, for me, it's willing to accept that. You know, and then there's, you know, the Hardys, but they're kind of near their end anyways. And although Jeff Hardy got himself in trouble again. So hopefully this is that opportunity that he gets the help that he really needs. And maybe this is the time that he steps away so he can really focus on himself and less of the pressures of being Jeff Hardy, WWE superstar, future Hall of Famer, Impact and TNA legend. Like, maybe this is his opportunity to just step out and just be Jeff Hardy, the man, the human, the father, and just get better, both inside and out. And, you know, because you don't want to see something like that happen. You want to see these people be able to live a prosperous life outside of the ring and a life they can be proud of. And so hopefully Jeff will get the help he needs. So that's it, Mark. It's time for you to take the role of Triple H. Make your cuts. Tell me how you think about my cuts. And then on next week's episode, I can share some feedback about your cuts. So after the break, we're going to wrap up a couple of news items and then peace out. And when Mark will be on tomorrow, given his take two, part two, night two, whatever you want to call it, side B of today's podcast. So stay tuned. I'll be back in a moment. Hey everyone, this is Kyle. Man, I think I need a new opening when I come back from the break, because hey everyone seems to be a little tired out now. But again, this is me here talking by myself for, I don't know, however long, 45 minutes, and maybe I'm going to go a little loopy by myself. But that being said, let's try and keep this professional, because that's what I am. I'm a professional. No, I'm not. So, just want to wrap things up. Once again, Mark will be on tomorrow night with his take two, his side two, side B, second half, whatever you want to call it. I just want to break down a couple things. So, big announcement for AEW. They have made the news that their show, whatever it may be called, is going to come premiering on the TNT network on October 2nd. No real details as to what that's going to look like. We're told it's going to be live. Don't really know if, you know, what kind of stories they're going to have leading up to it. It will be on a Wednesday. So it'll also be interesting to see if they're going to stick with the Wednesday time slot. I mean, to say they're going to go up against NXT, ideally that's who you're going to go up against anyways. NXT, Ring of Honor, that level, Impact. NXT, I mean, really, you can catch NXT's show 8 times a day. So you can watch both. You don't have to worry about that. But yeah, so we'll keep tabs on that one. See what happens. See how it goes. How long is the show is going to be? What kind of stories are we going to get yourselves into? Are they going to use All Out to really start the stories into the show? Or is there going to be no stories? And it's just be straight wrestling, which would be an interesting take. But I think this is really going to set the mark as to what AEW is going to be. And it is certainly not going to be a WWE killer. It's never going to happen. But maybe they can ruffle some feathers, take some of that strong NXT talent and bring them over and go from there. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. I also wanted to make sure that I keep everybody up to date on Fighting Back 9, which takes place at St. Anthony's Banquet Hall, August 16th. We do have another match announced. Joey Janela, bad boy Joey Janela. It is his goodbye match, as it sounds like I thought. AEW signed wrestlers are going to be moving towards whatever AEW is doing with their television show. We'll join in the co-main event with the C4 Tag Team Champions, the unlikely duo of Diamond Tiger, Kobe Durst, and Matt Angel. And they were going to take on Evil Uno, so not the Dark Order, with the Butcher and the Blade, Andy Williams and Pepper Parks. I don't like the name, but I do like the gimmick. Bring back Braxton. I think it works still. In an awesome 6-man tag match, based on what we're being told from the lovely C4Wrestling.com, that have no fears, even though Evil Uno is in a separate match, Stu Grayson will be on the show doing something else. Again, as a reminder, we have the special challenge as our co-main event, Cody and MJF versus Tabarnak de Team, Matthew Saint-Jacques and Thomas Dubois. So we'll see how that one goes. I'd be interested to see. You know, I've never really seen Cody in a hardcore match, as I'm assuming that's what it'll be, because that's what TDT does. So we'll go from there. Keep you up to date. VIP tickets all sold out. In fact, they're announcing that there's roughly 60, a little bit less than 60 tickets, period, left. A couple at each of the locations. Odds and Sods Shop, Vertigo Records, Other Side Tattoo, and obviously St. Anthony's Hall. So there is still a chance for you guys to come and grab some tickets. $20 a pop, $25 a pop, whatever it is. It's totally worth it for 3.5 hours. You know, if you're going to go to the movies, you're going to spend more than that anyways. So come out, enjoy it. Everyone there is there to have a good time. You have a chance to interact with the wrestlers. See the future of professional wrestling. Because honestly, that's what happens. C4 gets that talent. They come. Sin Cara has been there. WWE superstar Kevin Owens as Kevin Steen, been there. WWE superstar Bobby Lashley made an appearance. You know, that's just a couple of names that I can come off the top of my head. Obviously, there's we've seen AEW pick up some of these wrestlers. You know, Josh Briggs, Anthony Green put on good shows and Evolve. So you're going to see talent that will be around for a long time. And you get to see them up close and personal and even chat with them. And they're super nice people. So why not take the opportunity? So that being again, that's our show for tonight. Thank you very much for joining me by myself here in the 613 Wrestling Studio. We talked about SmackDown. We talked about Raw. We fired some people. Gave you some updates. Thank you very much for joining me. Have yourselves a good night or a good day, depending on when you're listening to this. And we will catch you all with Mark's episode tomorrow. And then we'll be back together in no time. Thanks very much, folks.
Six, one, three, wrestling.